Yeah, I'm so happy to be here, so glad to be here that I got this opportunity to speak. Just a little about myself. I come from a Christian family. I am from India, from Punjab. I came to Canada just to attend Vanguard in 2022. And a few months before that, I gave my life to Christ. I was born a Christian, but didn't know Christ personally. My dad's a pastor, so being a PK, didn't like the ministry life at all. Didn't like the pastor's kids' life at all. But when God stepped into my life and God reached out, I could not say no. And that was a very profound moment for me when God reached out to me where I was in my life. And the things that I was going through, I just had to say yes. Because God's so lovely, God's so kind, He's so strong and powerful that He can turn your heart upside down. And He opened my heart to Himself, and I've been in love with Him ever since. So, yeah, but I was big time into preaching before that. My dad asked me to preach one time at a youth meeting at our church. I was 16 at that time. I said, sure, I'll fill in. If no one else says yes to this, then I'll fill in, right? And I said that because I was very nervous. I had never preached before. I had never talked about God before. And one thing that my dad told me completely changed my outlook towards preaching and towards how I talk about God. He said that, if I ask you to talk about your dad, me, if I ask you to talk about me for 5 minutes, can you do that? I said, yes. He said, that's the same thing with your God, your Father in heaven. Can you talk about Him nonstop for 5 minutes and then take that a step further for 10 minutes, 15 minutes? And I said, yes, I'll do it. And I've been preaching ever since then. And I've been in love with my with God, what He has in my life, what He has in store. And it's just awesome. So let me just open by asking, how many of you are fans of The Office? Okay. A lot of people, right? So a little reference for you there. So when time is not a limiting factor, as Pastor Bert told me that you can take as much time as you need, I like to open by starting with five or six different openings. And if they don't work for me, then maybe we'll move into the sermon. Who knows? But thank goodness someone laughed. I was so nervous about that joke. I had planted some of the guys to laugh for me for my jokes, but they went down in the kids' ministry. So please laugh. Yeah. So when I was asked to talk about when I was told about the theme of the church for this year is grow, I started thinking about it and started meditating on it a little bit. Like, what is growth as a Christian? Or where have I been seeing growth in my life? Or where have I not seen any growth in my life? And I live with my uncle and aunt in the Millwoods area, south side Edmonton. And my aunt is a big time gardener. She's a full time nurse, but she also loves gardening. And out of all the plants that she has in her garden, in her kitchen garden, in her living room, front lawn, backyard, out of all, the best way I can describe those plants to you is that they're blue, green, red. I have no idea how to describe flowers. I'm not a big flower guy. But out of the beautiful scenery that she has created, or she has worked on in her backyard, there is one tree that is very withered, very lifeless. It has no leaves on it, even during the summertime. And when you walk into that backyard, you cannot help but notice that tree. You cannot help but focus on that tree. And you, like, it's so profound, that it's so crazy for me that how you ignore all the beauty that's beside it, around it. But your focus goes on that tree. Like, what's wrong with this tree? And me being, I love science. And so my uncle also loves science. And we know, but he's also a pastor, by the way. But we look at that tree and we go, it's time to cut that tree, maybe. Like, it has no life in it. But my aunt persists to pray for that tree. And I've seen her do that for the last 2 years. So every summertime, during the summer season, she'll go out into the garden, water the plants, and then spend intentional time with that tree. Like, she'll sit beside it, she'll water it, she'll pray for it with tears in her eyes sometimes, that God, why is this tree dead in my garden? It needs to live. I care for it. I think about it. Why is it not producing any fruit or at least some leaves? Like, what's going on? And we used to laugh at her, like, it's not going to happen. But then I started to think about myself, like, is my faith so little? Like, Like, can Jesus not revive a tree? Right? And then I started to think about myself. Okay, if Jesus is the gardener of my life, and he has been spending intentional time with me in that garden, he has been investing in me, he has been watering me, praying over me, talking to me, and me as a tree, I'm not showing any fruit, I'm not showing any life. That's a scary image for me as a Christian, as a follower of God, as a follower of Christ. And that's the question that might pop up in your heads as well. You might have gone through this in your life or might be going right now in your life, that you might be experiencing some emptiness in your life, might have experienced some emptiness in your life. Might be some areas where you feel that, I'm not showing any growth in this area. I'm not showing any fruit in this area. Why do I feel so dried up? Why do I feel so withered up? So let me tell you from the scripture, from the book, that you are not alone in thinking that. If I think that, I'm not alone in thinking that. I love the life of King David. King David went through almost every possible season of life, right? He started from a humble beginning. He was neglected, not even considered a son by his family. Then he got anointed to become a king, spent some time in training, in waiting to fulfill that calling in his life. He became a king. And then he had to run away in times of trouble, spend some time, intentional time with God, reach out to God, cry out to God. So he went through every possible season in his life, right? And that's where my head went to. I'd like us to read Psalms 27, verse 4. It says that, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." The context of this passage or this verse is that David is in times of trouble, right? And he's facing very serious situation in his life. And he says that one thing I would ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. Now, if I ask you this question, or if when I ask myself this question, what's one thing that I'll need? Or what's one thing that I need in my life, right? Probably this won't be our first answer. As human beings, I understand it. It's not the first answer that we'll say that, I want just and only God in my life. Me being a student, my demand, one thing that I would ask from the Lord is a 4.0 GPA. My student loans, I don't have student loans, but I don't know why I still fear student loans. But I don't know. But I think my tuition to be paid in time, or if I can have a big car, I have a beautiful wife, I have a beautiful family. That's like some things that come from the top of my mind. But if I was in trouble, let's say I had student loans or I was in shortage of money, didn't have a car, my first thing would be, Lord, give me a car or give me money, give me this. But never would I ever go and say that, Lord, there's only one thing I want, even in this time of desperation, times of trouble, that I want to dwell with you in your house. I want to see your beauty. I want to gaze upon you. But that's the heart posture we need when we're feeling dried up, when we're feeling disconnected, or when we don't have any fruit or growth to show in our life. That's the heart posture we should have, that God, I only want you and you only. So what did David do? You'll see, read the rest of the Psalms, and there are Psalms of lament where David goes on and on talking about God, I need you, I need your presence, I need you in my life, right? And this is the image that I got while relating to David, thinking about that tree. That how does a tree, how can you describe a tree as full of life? Or where does life come from in a tree? So let's read Psalms 1. It says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step of the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." So if you think about your life as a proverbial tree, and if it's not showing any fruit, it's not growing any leaves, it looks lifeless, the reason might be that we're not planted by the stream of living waters. We're not connected. We're not deeply rooted in Christ. That might be the problem. And not might, that is the problem, basically. So I want to give you two reasons that you might, why you might feel disconnected from God. Why do you feel that you're dried up, that you're distant, or that you're not showing any growth? Number one is that we dry up because we don't root ourselves in God's presence. God's presence is a very important aspect in my life. And not just in my life, I guarantee it's a very important aspect in your life as well, as Christians. Right? If we're not in the presence of God, we feel empty. We're designed that way. We all know the story of Adam and Eve, right? Right? Yeah. I hope we do. And we tend to villainize. We were talking about this in our Pentateuch class. Pentateuch is basically the first five books of the Bible. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So the first five books are also known as Torah, which also means the law of the Lord, right? So we were learning about this in the Pentateuch class, how we tend to villainize Eve for disobeying God. Like, was Eve the only person to blame in that situation? The Bible specifically says that when Eve, this was happening with Eve, and serpent was, the Satan was tricking Eve, it says that Adam was present over there. He was watching this thing happen. He was watching things unfold, and never did he say, never did he interrupt them and go, stop, this is not what God said. No, no, no. He ate it. Eve gave him the fruit and he ate it. My aunt or my mom, I'll describe it, I shouldn't say this, but they make the worst food. I don't like their food at all. They make it with love. I love that part, but it doesn't taste good to me. And my uncle and my dad eat it, and they say that they love it, but I can see it on their faces. And we joke around the house that now it makes sense why Adam would eat something that his wife would give him without any question. I don't think I'm qualified for this joke. I'm not married yet, but I find it funny. So there you go. Right, so the way Adam and Eve were designed in the first place was that they were meant to live in the presence of God. And when the original sin happened, they disobeyed God. They got separated from God's presence. They were spending physical time with God. God used to walk with them in the garden, talk to them, right? But that thing happened and we got disconnected from God. And human nature tends to turn towards sin now. And if we're not in God's presence, we're open up to the enemy's attack. We're very open to fall into sin. And again, that's why we dry up. Because we open ourselves to the world. We open ourselves to sin. We open ourselves to enemy attacks of the enemy to just take advantage of us, to trick us, and take us further and further away from God's presence. I want to make this very clear that we do not choose, as Christians or as human beings, we do not choose God. We do not say, you're a pretty good guy. Yes, you can have me as your follower, Jesus. We don't say that. God chooses us. God appoints us. And it says in John 15, verse 16, you do not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, my Father will give you. That's John 15, verse 16. So Jesus Christ, or God, he chooses us. He reaches out to us in this world where we're separated from him. And then we do the action. We reach out in return and we hold his hand and we go into his presence. That's how this relationship works. This relationship used to be like this. Adam and Eve holding on to God and God holding on to Adam and Eve. But because of the sin, this relationship became like this. Adam and Eve separated from God. But because of grace, God is still holding on to us. And it's our call now. It's our step. It's our action time now to hold on back to God. That's how you come back into his presence. In John 10, verse 27, 28, it says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. So it's a guarantee, basically, that when you hold on to God, when you're in God's presence, when he is your shepherd, he is taking care of you, the enemy, the wolves, cannot attack you. They can try their best. But my God's best, your God's best, our God's best is better than the enemy's best. And he is looking after us, protecting us all over, all the time. And a relationship works both ways. It has to go both ways, right? There's communication, there's intimacy with any relationship that we have in our life as human beings. The same is with God. We need to be intimate with God. We need to keep communication open with God and reach out to him. I remember as a small kid, when I was probably a few months old, where at the age where I could recognize my mom's scent, my mom's voice, it was a very difficult task for my family to separate me from my mom. And I used to cry a lot, and she had to work extra hours. You had to take on a few more shifts at work. She's a pharmacist. So what she used to do was, when she used to leave for work, she used to just leave a scented scarf around my body. And then I would just smell that. And I still have that picture with me, by the way. I'm laying there just in her scarf. And I used to smell that scent and be comforted that my mom is near me, right? And that's the same way I think God talks to us or is with us today. We might not have God physically with us, but we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. It's the Spirit of, he is the Spirit of God. He might not be physically with us, but he has given us the helper to encourage us, to comfort us, and to be with us all the time. And when I see, compare that image in my mind of me laying there in the scarf of my mom, I see that God is much more than that scented scarf, right? At that time, I might just have a scent of my mom. I might think that I might just have a scent of God, but there's so much more than that. It's so profound. I would urge you to take a theological class at Vanguard sometime to know how much God loves us. It's crazy how much he loves us. Like, a person should not love someone this much. It's so profound. And just like David, when we are in times of trouble or when we are away from God, we grow desperate for God by design, and we start to dry up. Psalm 63 verse 1 says, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water." Again, the image of being thirsty for God, being hungry for God, longing for God when you're away from him. Now, the second reason that you might dry up, that you might wither away, might not grow, is because you're not rooting yourself in God's word. There's God's presence and there's God's word. I grew up in the church, and I used to see so many people come to church just even as young adults or youth or grown-up adults. And they used to come to church and say, "Oh, we just come to church, like it's the new word, for just for the vibes. Like, we like how people are in this place. We like how there's just something in this place that fills us up. And we long for that every week, every weekend." That's good. But that's just being nominal Christians, I'll say. That's just being Christian on a surface level. It's good to be in God's presence. But then God's presence urges you, moves you, to root yourself in his word. And that's why he's given us the gift of the Bible, gift of his spoken word, inspired word. This is how David, again, described the word of God. In Psalms 19, verse 7 to 8, "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes." Psalms 19, verse 7 to 8. See, God will do whatever's necessary for us, and he will give us whatever's necessary for us to receive. His timing is perfect. His law is perfect. I want to say this to you. When you want strength, God will give you strength if you're weak. When you're sad, God's word will give you joy. When you're confused, God's word will make things clear in your life. When you're confused about making decisions, confused about future, unsure about the future, anything, the law of the Lord or the word of the God makes things clear. And it's beautiful and it's profound and it's good. We come to know more and more about Christ or God when we read about him, when we get to know about him, right? And that's how he talks to us in this generation or in today's world. He talks to us majorly through the word. Yes, he'll talk to you through worship as well, through visions, through dreams, through prophecies. But all of those things will bring you back to the word. will make you research more on what God is actually trying to say or what God wants from my life. We do not worship the Bible itself, but we worship the God who gives us life through the Bible. There are a lot of religions in the world because I've seen a lot of religions in India. I think, to be precise, there are 30 million religions almost in India, or 3 million. I'd be not very accurate on that number. But a lot of the religions that I see are mostly into praising and worshiping the holy books or idol worshiping, right? And I was, it was a few months ago in the summer. Do you guys know the sport cricket? Yeah, so I was going in the morning to play cricket. It was 5 a.m. in the morning. And with my friends, with my roommate, and with one of the persons from my workplace. I also work at a part-time job at a warehouse. So he asked me if I could pick him up. He's a Sikh by religion. So he got into my car, and he saw my Bible in the back pocket of my seat. And he was so surprised to see it over there. And he basically started to reprimand me, like, how dare you keep the Bible in this place? Like, isn't this the holy word of your God? Like, why is it behind your seat? Or why is it in your car? And then I asked him to open up the Bible. It was dirty. It was dusty. And there were fingerprints on it. And because I tend to sweat a lot through my hands, I'm sweating right now as well. My pages turned to curl up or get moist, right? And then he was just speechless because he had never seen someone treat a holy book like that. And in my defense, I was not being abusive to the Bible, but I tend to read a lot, and then I'm very rough with books. So it got damaged a little bit. But then I told him about a saying that I heard a very long time ago. It says, the dirtier your Bible, the cleaner your soul, right? So I told him the concept of reading the Word of God in Christianity is not praising the book, but reading the words in it and praising that God. So your Bible is not supposed to sit in a shelf at your home in a clean place just to be on display. It needs to be in our heart, in our mouth, or on our tongue, and in our minds as well. If you have a physical Bible with you, that's awesome. If you have a Bible on your phone, an iPad, I didn't say phone. There you go. No, I'm kidding. You can have it on your phone, but it's important to have the Word of God with you at all times, right? And why I'm establishing the need of Word of God so much in our life is because I went through that experience when I was new to Vanguard. I think I just passed my first year, and I was at my workplace again, and there was this driver that came in late at night, and he was just helping me out with like arranging some skids. And he was asking about my life, what I do. And I told him that I go to a Bible school. And he was so surprised. He asked me how old I was. I said, I'm 23. He said, you're 23 and you're going to Bible school? You should be in clubs. You should go out clubbing, drinking. Like, you're earning right now for yourself. You don't have your parents around you. Like, you can do that stuff later on in the life, right? And then he started to question me from the Bible. He said that I don't believe in the Bible, because there are a lot of things that are unsaid. Like Jesus Christ, you learn about him when he was 11, 12 years old, and then you skip all of those years, and then you go when he started his ministry. Like, what was he doing in those years? Like, was he a regular human being? Was he out with his friends at night? Like, what was going on? And I did not have an answer, because I did not have the Word of God with me. I did not have it in my heart. The answer is that, no, he was not a regular human being. He was God from birth. And he was not doing the regular human being stuff. We don't have the proof to prove that, but we know it, right? And I could have told him more about that, but I just laughed with him, like, yeah, who knows? Yeah, because it was such an awkward conversation for me. And that just stayed in my heart, that I could have planted the seed of the Word of God in his heart, but I did not. I could not, because I did not have it in my heart. And that's why we need the Word of God so much. Because when we don't have the Word of God in our life, people see that this tree in front of me, this proverbial tree, this person is drying up. He does not have any fruit. And because most of the people, this is statistical, by the way, the majority of the world population will, I think, never get to read the Bible, but they will get to know Christ and read the Bible through us, through you, by reading our lives, by reading what's going on in our lives and knowing what's going on in our life. So if we're not living a life rooted in the Word of God, we just might never reach out to the people who might come to know Christ through us. God speaks through His Word to reveal His character. His Word directs our heart to desire Him above all else. Now, if you're new to church, right? If you've never been to church before, if you've just started coming to church, God's Word exposes our sin. It points us to Christ, and it is the only way to be reconciled with God. If you're a believer, if you've already repented for your sins, then the Word deepens your love for God and calls us into a greater obedience. Right? It works for everyone. There's not a specific group of people that the Bible works for. It works for everyone. And we don't have the right to hold it from someone. We are responsible for taking it out into the world. We have spiritual direction at our school. And we have to meet our spiritual directors at least 3 times during the semester. And my spiritual director is Pastor Mark Elvin. And I was sitting with him for 1 hour for my spiritual direction, and we talked about this. I was reading from the parable of the sower. If you don't know what a parable is basically a story inspired from real life events. Might not be true necessarily, but it is used to reveal deeper spiritual meanings or hidden revelation of God in the Bible. So Jesus Christ, by the way, He used to teach the disciples and address the crowd through parables because most of them could not understand the Bible or the Word of God right away, right? So we were talking about this parable of the sower. The story goes in Mark 4 that there's a farmer. He grabs a couple of seeds and starts spraying the seeds around, right? Some seeds fall on thorny ground, some fall by the wayside, some fall on rocky ground, and some fall on the good soil. And then it describes how different places where the seeds fall, the different conditions the seed goes through, and only the good soil produces fruit or grows up a plant through that seed. In this passage, in this parable, the seed is the Word of God, right? The sower or the farmer is anyone who is talking about the gospel, the Word of God. And the soil is us, the one who's receiving, the people who's receiving, who are receiving the Word of God. And while talking to him, I said, Pastor Mark, how can I be a good soil? Like, tell me the steps. Give me step one, give me step two, and the final step where I can track my progress as a Christian, right? And he said, there are no steps to it. There are literally no steps to being a good soil. There's no way to track your progress. There's only one thing you need to do to be a good soil, is to know and learn more about the Word of God. Because when you start to learn about the Word of God, when you start to read the Word of God, God starts to work on the soil of your heart. He starts to till it. He starts to break it down so that His seed can come to fruition in your life, can grow up into a plant in your life. And that was very profound for me because as Christians, we try to grow closer to God through our works, through our own effort. We think that, oh, I'll come to church this Sunday. I'll go to church every Sunday of every month and I'll be a good Christian. I'll move up to level 5 in my Christianity. It doesn't work that way. We think, oh, I might give in church. I'll give major chunk of my pocket money or my salary or my earnings into church. And then I'll move up to level 10 in the church. I'll be experienced. It doesn't work that way. Your punctuality, your heart of giving, your heart of loving other people, being kind to other people, are not the steps that will leave you closer to God, but these are byproduct of being closer to God. When you grow closer to God, these things happen automatically in your life. You don't have to put an effort for these things. I'll share a little testimony and then I'll end my time. Vanguard people might know, I brought my friend to our last ministry trip. He's also Christian, born in a Christian family. But some things happened in his life through the church and in the church that made him to walk away from faith. And he used to still come to church, but just sit in there for the sake of his family, right? And when I saw him, because I used to meet him as a kid, I used to come to Canada as a kid to visit my aunt. But when I saw him after so many years, I saw his heart posture. I saw how hurt he was. And that just didn't sit right with me. Because I used to see this guy being on fire for God, wanting to learn how to play the guitar, being in the worship team, and just giving his time into church. And now he's just so cold towards this whole concept of God and church. And I wanted to do stuff for him, but I did not know what to do. So all I started to do was to pray for him, right? I started doing that since 2023, actively started to pray for him. And I forgot that I was, it became like such a regular practice that I forgot that I'm doing it, right? And I have a screenshot with me. If you want to meet me, you want to see that screenshot later on. But that screenshot says, "Hey Vishal, can you tell me a Bible translation that I can start reading? Like, I have no idea where to start reading the Bible. I want to do it all over again." A few weeks after that, he starts coming into church, starts getting active in church's worship team. And he becomes intentional about it. And he's also now encouraging other people to be on time. To, like, church practice is at 4. That means we have to end practice at 4:45, which means before 5 p.m. we have 15 minutes, and those 15 minutes is connection time. Go and pray for other people. That's what he said. And I was just shell-shocked. Like, wait, what? You? What happened? Out of nowhere? And that's when God reminded me how prayer is. By the way, it wasn't just me. It was his mom. It was the church. Everyone was praying for him. And that's how the collective body of Christ works. You start to pray for other people. You start to sow the seed of the word of God in their life through the word of God. You start to pray for them. You start to affect them with the fruits in your life. They notice those fruits. They notice that this guy has something different about his life. That this girl has something different about her life now. And I don't have it. I want what they have. I want what he or she has. And that's how non-Christians or unbelievers or people who do not know Christ come to know Christ through your life. But that only happens when you're rooted in the word of God. When you're rooted in the presence of God. When you're planted by the living waters. When your roots have grown so deep into God that rain cannot move it. Wind cannot move it. Any natural calamity cannot move it. And I dare say any human effort cannot move it. So if this is you today, if you think that you're in a season where you're not near God, I want to tell you that God is near you. Do not believe the lies of the enemy. You just need to reach out. You just need to open up your heart and say, "God, I welcome you in my heart. God, I want to be the good soil that you will work on, that you will bring fruit from." So if you're that person today, this can be your prayer for today. That is how we will be rooted in Christ as the body of Christ. So just a little exercise. Turn to your neighbor. I know church loves this part, absolutely. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You're awesome." And do you know why you're awesome? Because you all are rooted in Christ and Christ is with you. We're awesome because our God is awesome. And this was an awesome time for me to be with you guys and share from the word of God. So God bless you all. Thank you so much. Pastor Bird, please take over. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Vishal, for leading us and for sharing the word, God's word with us. Amen. Folks, this is a good word. I don't know where everybody is in your journey, in your experience, in your life with this God that came to us, Jesus Christ. He came, laid down his life for each one of us. And the reason he said he came is to give us life, and give us life in its fullness, give us eternal life. And so whatever your life is like, whether it's going great, could be better, not so hot. the early church leader Paul gave us a bit of a picture in when he wrote to the church that was in Galatia in modern day Turkey. He showed us what the fruit of a good life in God is all about. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Any of those things lacking in your life, you're going, man, yeah, I would do anything to have somebody love me. I'm so stressed out, and I can't even find any joy in this life. Whatever it may be for you, Jesus came to give us that abundant life. All those things in our lives, if we would just say yes. Yes, God. I believe in you. I want to follow you. So I want to just provide an opportunity. If you've never taken that step before to follow him, I want to lead you in a short prayer to just help you voice what you're feeling maybe in your heart right now. And if we could just bow our heads, everybody, this is a special time. It's a special time. Somebody takes a step of faith, says, I don't know all of this yet, God, but I'm going to take this chance on you. I'm going to take this step of faith. And if that's you today, I'm going to pray with you for a sec, but can you just let me know who I'm going to be praying for? If you just quickly raise your hand, just so I can know that. Thank you. Father, thank you that you love me enough. God, you love me so much that you would willingly come into this world and lay down your life for me to show me your love. God, I don't get it all yet, but I believe. I want to take that step of faith, God, and believe that you are who you said you are, Jesus. You are God, come to this world, lay down your life for me, and you want me to live with you forever. I want to take that step today, Lord. I choose you in my life today. Thanks, God. Thank you that as I take that step, I know that I belong to you. I'm your child, and I will be with you forever. Help me to live for you from now on. God, I pray for that fruit, all those things to start to grow in my life. And God, I pray that you'd help me to share what you've done in my life with those around me, God, so that they can experience too. And I thank you for this, and I commit myself to it. And to you, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you did pray that prayer for the first time, folks, that connect card that I mentioned earlier on, if you could fill that in and just check off the box that I said the prayer today, that would be awesome. On the screen as well, if you want to just, you can scan that or whatever works for you. And we'd love to connect with you and follow up with you. With that, I'm just going to get the guys to finish up with one more song, and then you're dismissed.